sound that saved from a wreck.
It's good to be able to come out to the house of God. He says, come ye out from the world. Come into the house of God and honor Him with your thoughts, your mind, your presence. Some way, there's a topic on my mind. I really don't know why, but I do ask an interest in your prayers that whatever be said and done would be to His honor, to His praise, and to our edification. The Bible says you have not because you ask not.
Amen.
And when you ask amiss, not believing. We believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Jesus is the Christ, and He's also God the Father. If you have some books, the Bible, turn to Jeremiah 18. Start reading the first verse. As we remember, that when we pray, we believe that God is able. The words which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause these to hear my words. Then I went to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hands, and the potter of a potter, so he made it again, another vessel. It seems good, and in the potter's hand. Remember Solomon prayed to the Father for wisdom and how to go in and out among God's people, how to serve them, in other words. And if we read the Bible and ask God to open up the door, because He is the door of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, He will show you the way. Let us go now to Genesis and read there from the 5th and 6th chapter. He made man out of the dust of the earth, and He took a rib and made woman. And He said, this is good and very good. And the man there lived to be an old man. Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. Again, as we read there in chapter 6, that the Son of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them for wives, which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. For he also said, He's also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120. So this is a change of phase. Dropping down to the fifth verse. This touches me most. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on earth, and grieved at his sin. Yet when he made man, he made him good and very good, but subject to vanity. So he spoke then to Noah to go and build an ark. And that ark was to be a certain size and what have you. Somewhere I think it took about 100 years to build the ark or thereabout. Make thee an ark of gopher's wood. Shall thou make it in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it without. So here again, we go back to the sixth chapter. The clay is the children of God. The master potter is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in his hands his clay was marred. Not because the potter could not do his job, but because of the clay itself. That's subject to vanity. We are by nature sinners by birth, conceived in sin, and without the help of our Heavenly Father, we go astray.
Right.
As Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again. Nicodemus, he had been ruler of the land, and he says, how can that be? How can a man enter into a mother's womb the second time? With man, it is impossible. But with Jesus, all things are possible. It's through and by his mercy. He is full of mercy, rich in mercy. This is a love the Father, Jesus Christ, had for people to be housed in heaven and immortal glory. Yes, he gave us the natural family, born of nature, which should always cling together, supporting each other as God's soul give them strength and ability. Not to be selfishly thinking, going their own way. This world was made for me and I can handle it any way I want to. No. It's brought us to the realization that we have a mighty, wonderful Heavenly Father.
Amen.
How can a father give his son to be died on the tree of the cross to save such wretched people as we are so much of the time? There is a love there that's far beyond comprehension. We know love in a sense as we look as a little child born. See how beautiful they are, how sincere, how innocent and what have you. We want to just embrace them. But what has happened? We have gone astray. We have gone out after our own thing, our own family as it was, used to let of a boy. If we had a big problem around the house or something or another, they are talk about if we our barn burnt down. The family and a group came in and built that back. Where is that love, that community project today? When you drive down the road and all of a sudden hear cars zoop right close in front of you. If you don't break or something another, you're headed. And lo and behold, you're the wrong because you hit them from the rear. Something's wrong here. Help us to give respect one to another.
Amen.
We all stand in need of a Savior's love. If we don't need our Savior, something's wrong.
Amen.
We got the wrong attitude. We're going down the wrong path. And when something happens to us, when we have a little baby that's born dead, so to speak, why me, Lord? The Lord says, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. I'll supply your every need, not your want, but every need. Sometimes as grown-ups, we need a little chastisement, as we used to get with a keen hickory out behind the barn. Because some way or another we remember the feel upon our naked legs. That was not done by hate or what have you. That was done by love. That's the love I'm talking about as parents, as children. Let us go that extra step to some way lead and guide. Always remembering that Jesus is the door.
Amen.
Go to him in prayer. Yes. The Bible says pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
Seem like another here again for the last 3 months. I've done a lot of praying. But I've also prayed, God, thank you for today, for what I am,
Amen.
What I have to suffer, what this evening's strength,
Amen.
To honor and to praise your great and holy name.
Amen.
It's good to come out from the world and raise our voices within songs and hymns and adoration. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, giving him honor, praise and thanksgiving. Be aware. Don't be afraid to show that you have a need of him.
Amen.
You're at your wit's end. You don't know which way to turn. A good place is down upon your knees.
Amen.
God, be merciful. Not only to us individually. Add to the church daily such as needed. He does. He promised that, but that's his church.
Amen.
That's not this facility here or my facility. And it gets down to one or two or few. Yes. As we, the times and two are changing. Right after the World War II, the churches was filled inside and outside, praising God and thanking them that he had delivered them once again from that evil misunderstanding or what have you. My grace is sufficient for thee. If you're willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Are you hungering and thirsting after the precious truth of this great Bible? Yes, he told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house, and he would speak to them and tell them, "Oh, the house of Israel, cannot I do with you as to this potter, said the Lord." I'm speaking of an individual. I'm speaking of a church. I'm speaking of the world. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy. He sent a flood, destroying all mankind, all living things, except 8 people. The one that walked with God. Are you ashamed of our Heavenly Father? Put Him first and foremost.
Amen.
In your thought and mind. And if that nation against whom I have pronounced turns from their evil, I will repent the evil that I thought to do unto them. Our Heavenly Father knows your thoughts even before you speak them.
Amen.
He is the great I Am. From the beginning to the end, hear ye Him.
Amen.
Ask God to be with this nation. The Bible says each and every nation shall be destroyed. Yes, that's the Word of God. That's more than just a little switching on the legs. Does it have to take at us to open our eyes and to call upon our Heavenly Father? I thank you.
Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what Jesus, thank you. All the praise do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Thoroughly enjoyed the morning. Thankful for the preaching that you've already heard. Feel the Lord bless Brother Richard. And it's good to hear him again, see him standing as strong as he is, considering everything he's gone through. We can see the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. Certainly blessing him this morning, blessing us to hear him. I do need your prayers as I stand before you. Have lots of thoughts on my mind. I pray the Lord will bless us to be able to share them. It's been the case sometimes. I've gone to church without any thoughts, and the Lord's showered many of the thoughts on our mind and the efforts to make to preach the gospel. And other times we've gone full of thoughts and not been able to declare a single one of them, seemingly. So we're dependent upon the Lord today to be able to share with you the truth as it is in Christ. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 10. We'll begin right at verse 1 of John chapter 10. This is very familiar. Brother Richard spoke of the door, and this is about the door of the sheep and the sheepfold. And the message here is to the Pharisees who were questioning the Lord Jesus Christ and his healing of the blind man. And chapter 9, we've made some effort to speak on that in the past. I'm sure you've read that and are familiar with it. Chapter 9 is about the man who was born blind, that the Lord healed him and gave him his sight. used clay, anointed his eyes, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And as he went and washed, his sight was given back to him. And he had done that on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees were, when they heard about it, those of the neighbors of the man declared those things to the Pharisees. The Pharisees wondered what was going on here, and they questioned Jesus. First of all, they felt that if he'd done that on the Sabbath day, then it couldn't have been of the Lord. Of course, we're talking about Jesus, who's the Lord of the Sabbath and the work of the Lord, that the Sabbath was made, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Lord had healed one on the Sabbath. And rather than being delighted and thankful about the healing, they were upset because of what they felt was a breaking of the law. Now, we know there was no breaking of the law. And I wouldn't have to know much about the Bible to know that. I can know that there was no breaking of the law because the one who made the heavens and the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who did not sin or do anything wrong or disorderly or out of the way or contrary to the law, there was absolutely no fault or blame in him. So what he did was always according to the will of the Father and done perfectly and the right way. He didn't do a bit too much or anything too little. He did it just right all the time. And he healed that man, and the man didn't know much about it. You know, a lot of people say, you got to know this, you got to know that. I'm telling you, for God to work in your life, you don't have to know a thing at all. As a matter of fact, when the Lord begins his work in our life, we all are just in that way. We're dark. We're not only in the dark, we are darkness. When the Lord works initially in the life of any person, ye who are sometimes darkness are made light in the Lord. You are brought out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light. It's not because you got it figured out and went inquiring and asking. If you are asking, it's because the Lord has given you a heart to ask and a burden to ask and a concern to ask. There's already an evidence, if you're concerned about spiritual things, that life has already taken place in your life, and the Lord did that without you asking for it. If we had to ask for it to get it, the Bible says no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And it says the carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. And thanks be to God, we have a God who can work where death happens. And death had occurred when we died in Adam, and we needed a life giver. And thanks be to God that Jesus is the life giver. He is the door. He is the shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He is the one who has brought together the sheepfold. He's the protector of the sheepfold. He's the one who gives us green pastures and still waters. He's the one who prepares for us a table in the presence in the wilderness and a table in the presence of our enemies. He's the one who restores our soul. He's the one that we're here to worship today. And there is no way but by and through him that we can have any fellowship with the God of heaven. And I haven't read the text yet, but that's what a lot of it's about. He says, here to the Pharisees, he says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And you and I, if we try to be righteous before God, if we try to make God of ourselves acceptable in the sight of God, if we try to have fellowship with God, if we have a desire to be with the Lord in heaven, or if we have a desire to have fellowship with him here on this earth, if we try to pray and look to him, if we're calling upon him and expecting or hoping that he would hear us, it'll never be because we came through any other way but the door. Isn't that true? The only way into the sheepfold is through the door. Today I believe we've gathered in the sheepfold. I believe there's a gathering of God's little lambs and God's little sheep. I believe we have met to worship the Lord. Brethren, we have met to worship and to adore the Lord our God. And I believe we meet here in the sheepfold in the gathering of God's little children. And yet, if we try to get here, or try to be here, or try to enjoy this fellowship in any other way up other than through the door, we're the same as, he says to these Pharisees, you're the same as thieves and robbers. I read one fellow who said that the difference between a thief and a robber was one did it without you knowing it, and the other did it out in the open. The robber. Now, whether that's right sounds pretty good to me, because there are robbers and thieves of all types. There are some who have just come out and rob you. They are robbers. They come with a mask on their face, or if they're really brazen, with nothing at all, and they openly rob you, and that's a robber. But there's a lot of other robbers that come and they disguise themselves as something other than a robber. Although they're robbing you, they're thieves. They're just sneaking around trying to steal from you. And we know there are thieves in this world and they're robbers. But I'm telling you today, if you and I try today to have fellowship with the Lord, if we pray to Him or we look to Him, if we feel like He's going to have mercy on us, or He's going to give us something we need, or we're calling upon Him and we think we deserve it in any way whatsoever, that we've merited or we've earned it or we've asked for it or we've accepted it or we've done anything on that part, I'm telling you today, we come as thieves and robbers to try to have fellowship with Him. And there's not going to be any that do that enter into that sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold we're talking about, of course, is that place that the Lord has brought us into fellowship. I believe there's a fold that we're going to have after a while. It's going to have every one of God's little sheep that He's known in covenant even before the foundation of the world. There's going to be one fold, and they're going to be out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. I believe He already has them. I believe He's known them in covenant before the foundation of the world. And He says, all my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. And He calls them in regeneration, and every one of them hear His voice, and they're made new creatures in Christ Jesus, and their lives are changed. I don't mean just an outward kind of change. I'm talking about an inward change. In other words, those who would never love God are given a love of God to love Him with. Those who would have never known God are made to know about Him. Those who would have never called upon the Lord have given an unction in their heart and a desire. They also are made to understand, I need Him. Do you understand today you need Him? I hope I can preach to you today that you need Him, because I want to declare to God's little children that you need Him. But that won't mean a thing to you unless the Lord Himself has already talked to you and in your heart made you aware that you truly need Him. You say, well, I know a dear brother who I believe the Lord's touched and has been in his life down through the years. But right now he's kind of questioning, because he's never really heard a voice. He's never heard someone speak to him, and he's trying to get some peace about it, because he wants to really feel and absolutely be sure that he belongs to the Lord. You know, he wants to hear almost like an audible sound. Well, the Lord's never spoken to me audibly that I really know about. He may have done some things in my life that seemed so real it was like he audibly spoke to me. But I'm telling you, I have felt the unction of the leadership of his Spirit. I've seen it in your life. I've felt it and seen it in your responses. I'm telling you, tears have come out of our eyes because we sing Amazing Grace and feel like His grace was really meant for me, and His love was shown to me, and His mercy was given to me in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know this, if I have any right today to be at this place to worship the Lord, it's because Jesus is the door. Brother Terry, before we left up here, looked at me and he said, I love you, brother. And I said, I love you too. But you know, if it were Jesus wasn't the door, we wouldn't know anything about that kind of love. We would know about the things of this world, which are fleeting at best. We'd know about family ties and relationships, which come and go, don't they? I mean, you know, you hear people talking about Thanksgiving Day. For some folks, that was just a time everybody got together and fought. And I'm telling you, if you didn't do that, you can thank the Lord, because your nature is to get together and fight. That's the nature of man. The nature of man is not to get along. The nature of man is to get his way when he wants it and how he wants it. And if he can't find something to complain about, he'll make it up. He'll create it. If the evil of his mind is upon the imagination of his mind is only evil continually. I'm telling you, we were blessed to sit together in a family for a little while. And I'm not saying a fuss couldn't have entered in. And I'm certainly not saying some thoughts didn't run through this mind and that mind. But on our Thanksgiving day, I felt the Lord was in our house and in our home. And then peace was there and fellowship was there. And I just thank God for that, because I know it wouldn't have been there if it hadn't been for the Lord. Listen, He's the door. He is the only door, the only avenue of peace, the only avenue of rest. And you and I need Him in our lives. And if you know that, it's because He's made you aware of it. He's already gotten to you. You don't beat Him to the punch. Somebody said you just call out to God and He'll come to you. Listen, if you call it out to God, He's already come to you. And then because He's come to you, you do need to call out. Oh, you need to cry out, Lord, help me. Lord, be with me. Give Him honor. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Brother Richard's up here this morning just giving Him praise and giving Him honor and giving Him glory and recognizing what He's done for him. I hope all of us could relate to so much of that. You know, it amazes me how preaching sometimes can just reach out and touch people in ways, and the minister, even sometimes in the stand, you know, he didn't have a clue. But you may know about this or know about it. Have you ever seen that happen? I know you have. And have you had it in your own life? You'll be coming down the road thinking about something, and you wonder when you get to church, how in this world did the minister know anything about that? Or even, where was his mind? And was he with me? I'm telling you, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. I want to say this. Jesus is the one who's built His church. Jesus is the one who entered into His sheepfold first. Jesus has set the example before us. Jesus has taught us how to live, how to walk, how to talk, how to behave, how to be humble, how to be a servant unto our brethren, how to wash our brethren's feet in the sense of humility and down before them, how to approach with forgiveness with one another. He's shown us how to walk in our lives in a way to honor and glorify Him. And I need fellowship with Him, don't you? And I'm telling you, He is the door. He is the door. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Listen, Jesus is leading you. He's directing you. If you're one of His, you belong to Him, He's guiding you. You have an old nature that's in you that's contrary to the spirit of man. I love the writings of the Apostle Paul because it gives me great comfort and consolation. I find in my life a real warfare going on. I find there's a part of me that wants to follow the things of God, and my mind and my thoughts are in that way are desiring to be more like the Lord, to be more like Him, to follow Him. Paul said it this way. He said, I delight in the law of God after the inward mind, inward man. But he said, I found another law warring in my members, another law, the old flesh. Paul also wrote in the Galatian letters that the flesh and the spirit are conflicting. In the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians, he's talking about they're contrary to the one another, so that you cannot do what you would. And there's a battle going on. I want to do this, but when I would do good, I find evil present with me. Oh, brethren, be thankful that the Lord has given you a heart to want to serve Him. Because without Him, we would never have that. And he says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. What right do we have in fellowship with God's little people in the church today? Because there was a Savior who died on the cross and paid a sin debt we could not pay. And He washed us in His own blood, and He's called us out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light, and He's told us that we ought to walk in a way to bring honor and glory to Him in this world. He's called us to walk in baptism. He's called us to follow Him in church fellowship and in church attendance. He's called us to study His Word and to learn how to live and act and behave, how to put the first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things that sometimes so trouble us in this world will be added to you to follow Him. And there's only one way that we can do that, and that's through Jesus Christ, the door. He says, "I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." And there's a deliverance in coming into the sheepfold here in this world and having fellowship with the Lord's people. There's green pastures here that'll help you when you're sick, that'll help you when you're in trouble, that'll help you when you feel like everything else in the world's falling apart. And listen, if it's not already there, you hang in there a while. It'll be there. You'll feel like we can't count on the things of this world. They're just quickly passing away. They flourish for a little while, but how quick it all just goes. Have you learned that about life? Oh, but I'll tell you what we're doing today. You will not be sorry for a day you spend in the service of God. You won't be sorry for a sermon you get to hear. You won't be sorry for the times you're able to join in and sing praises with God's little children. It'll be a strength to you when your heart's broken in this old world. And you can call to remembrance those times of fellowship among the Lord's people. And you can feel the presence of the Lord and remember those times you were right there. Oh, you can't, as I've said before, you can't have a memory of something you didn't do and a place you haven't been. You can't lay up treasures later. You got to lay them up now. While you're able and while I'm able, may the Lord bless us to lay up those wonderful blessings that God has given in the storehouse of our memory, so that when the time comes, God forbid, maybe it will happen to you. We don't know when we can't come anymore and we can't go anymore. We'll have that storehouse that we can feed on in fellowship that the Lord has given to us by His grace, and all that's come because Jesus is the door. He says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." That is, he shall be delivered. And the "any man," of course, is talking about God's... Listen, He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's not the shepherd of the goats. He didn't come to deliver the goats. He came to deliver the sheep. And the sheep were His in covenant even before the foundation of the world. Chosen in Christ before the very foundation of the world. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." How much did Jesus love you? He gave His life for you. And I'll tell you, that's how the under-shepherd ought to act and remember when he's talking to the sheep. As a minister of the gospel, I'm not the chief shepherd. Thanks be to God. You ought to be thankful for that. I'm certainly thankful for that. Jesus is the chief. I'd let you down. Listen to the chief. Jesus is the chief shepherd that will never, He will always take you up and hold you in His arms. He's the good shepherd. And the under-shepherds are called to do that as He has taught them to do that. And if we're a good under-shepherd, we won't be a hireling, will we? We won't be one who's just paid to do it, and when we're not paid, we won't do it. We'll be doing it because the chief shepherd has called us under that service. And as He told us, we're accountable unto Him, aren't we? As the under-shepherd, we're accountable unto the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. "He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." Jesus knew who he died for. Jesus knew who he paid the sin debt for. Jesus knew who he came to get, and he's going to have everyone that he came to get. There's going to be one fold and one shepherd, and he'll have all that he died for. He won't lose a thing. Aren't you thankful for that? And he says, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and laid down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Jesus came first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then he also had among the Gentile people, and out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people, the Lord had a people, and he came for all of them. And there's one fold and one shepherd. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. John 6, verse 38 says this, and we'll close with those verses. John 6, 38 says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which he has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." Notice he's not going to lose one of them, and he's not going to lose any part of them. He's going to lose nothing, but should raise it up, that is the body, again at the last day. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son," and who is it that seeth the Son? Those whom he's given life to, "that is able to see the Son, and believeth on him." Who is it that believeth on him? It's those who he's given faith to, and enable them to be able to believe on him, "may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Not a maybe so, not a might be. And isn't it wonderful to have a God of love, but also a God of power? Some people preach a God of love, but he doesn't have much power, because those whom he loved, he can't save. Brethren, the Bible tells us of a God who loved his people with an everlasting, unconditional love. But he also was a God of power, who has the power to save every one of those whom he loves. And he absolutely will. He cannot and will not ever fail. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.